Fluent and Chill, NBA edition. I'm Anthony K of Sports Fluent. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that reminder because you're going to want to hear the stuff we're talking about this week. As always, who else to talk basketball with? Who better to talk basketball with than my main man, Jermaine, Chilltown Hoops. Jay, how you doing, man?
What's up, brother? What's going on, man?
We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
Everyone's hit the subscribe and reminder button because they don't want to miss NBA or the NFL edition that comes out on Friday. If you do prop bets, don't forget, check out Thrive Fantasy. Promo code FLUENT. I'm going to match you dollar for dollar and give you two free tickets for games that win a guaranteed $50,000. So don't forget to do that. It's free money.
Can't say no to that.
We're going to talk about the Wizards, the Rockets, the Warriors, the Suns, my Lakers. But first, we're going to jump in the time machine and go talk about a guy who, listen, in my books, one of, if not the most underrated, underappreciated for sure, underpaid 100% players in the history of basketball. And I get it. He's got a new book out and he's been talking a lot of stuff that makes people think, look, some people who want to believe him, I told you that Jordan guy was a terrible person. The people that are kind of in the know are like, Scottie Pippen's had a little bit too much of his own bourbon. I don't know if you know, he has a bourbon. I think it's a bourbon company. It's some kind. It's bourbon, right?
Yes, he does.
Well, so Scottie Pippen says he's as great a player as Michael Jordan. And how does he want to be remembered? As the GOAT. You and I both played. You have to have a certain level of confidence, heck of ego. You have to think, hey, I'm going to be better than the guy in front of me. This shot, you're always shooting thinking it's going to go in. Otherwise, you might as well sit down.
Every shot.
So you have to have that bravado. When you heard Scottie Pippen with all these outlandish claims, what were you thinking?
Number one, he was selling books. And number two, I've mentioned this to you in the past, Tone, about, you know, working alongside somebody who's incredible at their job when you're really good at your job too, but you get discounted because this person that you're working next to is just absolutely awesome. And, you know, we talk about Scottie being underrated. He might be the most underrated player of all time because he's looked at as Jordan's sidekick. He's looked at as a guy who was, yeah, you were good, but you were only good because of this guy. When in reality, Scottie actually produced. People have no idea how difficult it is playing alongside a great player. A lot of people say, well, it's easy playing alongside a great player. No, it's not. It is not easy playing alongside a great player because
if it was easy, Kyrie would still have been in Cleveland with LeBron.
Yes, he would.
There's some downsides, right?
That's absolutely fact. So when I look at what Scottie has produced in his career, you know, being a 10-time All-League defender and being a 7-time All-NBA performer and a 7-time All-Star. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's an all-time great. However, Scottie's had some problems as of late. You know, he lost his son. In addition to losing his son, you know, he does have some personal things going on, and this just compounds it with finding out about The Last Dance, and, you know, It was just primarily about Jordan, when in reality, Scottie's like, we had a really good team. That doesn't discount that Jordan was the guy on the team, but, you know, we did have some really good players on our team. Now, I have a problem with, you know, people talking about Scottie being meh, but then he makes it difficult when he says things like, you know, I'm the GOAT. When in reality, Tone, you could just change one thing in that conversation where if Scottie said, I want to be remembered as one of the greatest ever, as opposed to the greatest ever.
Yeah.
If you could say that, that would come back. That would give you so much more context because you are one of the best ever. To say that you are the best ever, wow, there's a lot that comes.
There's a list. There's a list.
There's a lot that comes with that.
Yeah, I find it interesting because, like I said, looking back, I can say he was definitely underappreciated. He was always that kind of number two to Jordan. And I get it. And like you said, in any profession, just think about, you know, actors. You got to act alongside, I don't know,
Denzel,
Al Pacino. It's like, how much am I going to get recognized, right? So I understand that thing, but I find that in this world of kind of polar opposites it always seems to be is that he's either super underrated and people say he was garbage if it wasn't for Jordan, which isn't true.
Which is nuts,
or he's this, you know, unstoppable defensive force that, you know, scored 20 plus points and there's no Jordan without him, which is, and he's the great, which is also not true. And like most things, there's those two sides. In reality, it's somewhere in the middle, right? He's a phenomenal defender, right? It's interesting because people say, oh, he's such a good perimeter defender. And it, I won't say who does this, but someone in my family. Okay. Every time I say I like one thing better than another, it's immediately that I hate the other thing. So it's like, do you like these blue shoes or these red shoes? And I say, I like the red shoes. Oh, you hate the blue shoes?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
No, I didn't say I hate.
That's not what I'm saying.
And that's what I feel with Pippen. It's like, well, if you say Pippen's the better defender, well, then Jordan's a terrible defender. And if you say Jordan's the best defender, oh, then Pippen's terrible.
Right.
No, they're not mutually exclusive.
No, it's not.
Pippen was a great defender in his own right. In most cases, he took the number one offensive player, one, because of his size and his length, and he could disrupt them more. And then Jordan could take the second best offensive player and focus on scoring because, let's be honest, I love Pip. He's not a great shooter. He scored on fast breaks, dunks, those types of things. But if you look at his shooting, not a great shooter, right? Good enough.
Well, he did develop his mid-range game.
It got better. Yeah, it got better as the years went on.
Most of his career, he definitely developed his mid-range game and his long ball. He was able to do that.
He is one of those guys that came into the league, and I remember it was, we think he could play some good defense. His offensive game, we need to work on. But then you could see the progression, almost in five-year chunks, right, where he got better and better, which is impressive, too. That's important. So I wanted to have that discussion, just make sure at least it was said. Now, whether people believe us, listen to us, I don't know. Here's where I find Pippen, one of the greatest ever. Maybe the best number two ever. Like, if you were going to ask for a teammate, who better than a guy who could bring the ball up, be the primary ball handler, who was 6'7", 6'8", with a long wingspan, a great perimeter defender, a great help defender, could shoot when needed, you know, could run the fast break. He literally is a Swiss Army knife that could do everything. That's exactly what you want, because typically your number one either does one thing or two things super great. Now, in Jordan's case, he probably did more than that, but in most cases, there's very few people. Like, I think of all-time greats like Kareem, right? Kareem wasn't bringing the ball up, right? Oh, yeah. Kareem was going to play defense and go down in the post, right? So that's typically your best player. So to have a number two that can do everything on any given night, pick up the scoring slack if needed, pick up the defensive intensity when needed. That's your ideal guy. So to your point, one of the greatest ever? Yeah, he's top 50 for a reason. But, you know,
I have him. I have Scottie ranked as a top 30 player all time, just because of what he can do in terms of his all around game. I think he's a top 30 player all time. Now, again, I can appreciate, you know, his logic and how he felt, because, you know, again, Tom, we're talking about one of the best players. I have him one of the five best players in the history of the game at his position. I got him ranked fifth at the small forward spot. Yeah, I got him ranked fifth at the small forward spot. Now, again, it's difficult playing alongside of Jordan because Jordan demands so much more of the attention than everybody else. But I think his logic is, yo, I'm a lot better than what you guys giving me credit for.
I agree with that. I think he is better, but he's not, again, like I said, we think people have him here. He wants to be here.
He's somewhere in the middle. Right.
So you said you have him five. So just LeBron,
James, Bird, KD. Doc.
Scott. Okay. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was trying to think who four was. Yeah, Doc. All right. So that's Scottie. Like I said, if you don't know, go watch games. I always tell people, don't go watch highlights. Because I'll tell you, I have a highlight package of me. I look good. I ain't that good.
Of course.
My highlight package looks good. But yeah, go watch some games. Scottie's a phenomenal all-around player. Let's just remember he's here. He's not here or here.
And Jordan said it about him. Jordan said, no, it wouldn't be. There would be no me without him. You know.
Just think about this. Would they have four-peated that second time? I don't know. They were getting pretty. They looked tired in that last Utah series. However, why does Jordan retire the second time? He retires because Phil Jackson's gone, and they're not guaranteeing they're going to re-sign Pippen. In fact, they were trying to trade Pippen for Tracy McGrady earlier, right? So that shows you, look, you might love that or hate that about Jordan. I like loyalty to a certain extent. So for him to say, look, I don't want to start with a new coach or a new running mate. Mm-hmm. I want, those are my guys. That's why he said, they're not coming back. Then I'm out.
Right.
Right. And he had done enough by that point to be gone. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if that should speak volumes to how good of a player he was. He said, I'm not playing without him.
Right.
I'm not playing without him.
Absolutely.
So, all right. So I think that's enough about Scottie Pippen. Go buy his book. I'm sure, you know what?
I'm going to go buy it.
I think it's going to be a good read. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe next time we talk after I've read it, we might find some new stuff in the book that we don't know yet. But I'm sure there's some good stories. I do want to touch on The Last Dance just before we end it and move on to today. I understand it from that perspective, is that they asked the whole team, hey, we're going to bring these cameras in kind of behind the scenes to film everything we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not knowing, is there going to be a documentary at some point? Mm-hmm. Probably. What is 20 years later, however?
Right.
But okay, they probably forgot all about it. And yes, who's the star? I'm sorry. If the star of your movie is Denzel, if the star of your movie is, pick whoever, Leonardo DiCaprio, Samuel Jackson, whoever the star mm-hmm. is, they're going to get the most screen time.
Of course.
Duh. They're the star. So I get it. But I also understand it. Hey, if I was producing an executive producer on a movie about, you know, my family, and I got final cut, yeah, I'm going to make myself look a little bit better too.
Of course.
Let's be honest. That's everybody would. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's enough about that. We're going to jump right to the basement. Mm-hmm. So we went back in time. We flash forward, and unfortunately, we're in the basement. We're going to start with the Houston Rockets, who I was low on. I didn't think they'd be any good, but you didn't think they'd be in last place. What did you see? Was it the draft? Was it that good young core of players? What made you think they weren't going to be
That's it exactly, Tone. I didn't think that they'd be the worst team in the NBA. I looked at Christian Wood getting healthy. I looked at John Wall getting healthy, because last season was a season for him to just show that he could still hold up. And I think this season was a season for him to prove that I'm still really, really good. And the fact that he hasn't played at all, and then getting Jalen Green, I thought him and John Wall in the backcourt, I thought that was going to be a really good mix for them, only except they just look like a bunch of kids. That's what they look like. They look like a bunch of kids running around with no direction, and they just look bad. And what I mean when I say they look bad, Tony, they just look disoriented. We have no leader. We have no franchise player. And again, I love Christian Woods. I'm a huge Christian Wood fan.
Right,
but I thought that I had him last season as, before he got hurt, I had him last season as most improved. But when I look at this team, When you have a young team, you have to establish, Tone, who your franchise player is, right? And I don't think that Houston has done that. We don't know who they're building around. I don't know who they're building around. I don't know what direction they're going in. I just thought that they would be better. I didn't think that they'd be a playoff team. No, I didn't think that. But I didn't think that they'd be at the bottom of the Western Conference. Not just the bottom of the Western Conference, the bottom of the NBA. I did not think that.
I was of a different thought. I did think that they were going to be maybe not dead last, mm-hmm. But at the bottom, kind of fighting for that number one or two draft pick next season, mm-hmm. because I think they did it on purpose. I thought John Wall, to be honest, would have been traded. So that was part of my thinking, is that he was going to be moved, because mm-hmm. I think he said he wanted to be moved.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought he'd be out of the mix either way, and they'd bring in more youth, more draft picks for him. Mm-hmm. Green is really young. Wood, like I said, was coming back off injury and all the same things you said. And I thought that was kind of the goal, is let's work on more about development of these guys and figuring out who the franchise player is going to be, get another high draft pick, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe 1, 2, 3. And then, you know, this is like a 3-year kind of building process. So I did think they'd be last. The team that you thought would be last, however, I thought middle of the road. I said they were going to be, when I say middle of the road, I even hate every time I have to say this, mm-hmm. in the play-in game kind of situation. So not 7-8, but like 9-10. But I did say, I thought Kuzma, and now you're going to know who the team is I'm talking about, Kuzma would be the most improved player. And I thought that they would be exciting to watch, because Beal was like, I'm going to shoot from deeper and more threes than I ever have. Mm-hmm. I thought with Harrell and Kuz, like I said, Dinwiddie coming, right? They'd be a high kind of paced offense. So I thought mm-hmm. they'd be fun to watch. 5 in a row, they sit atop the East. What did we get wrong?
Well, The first thing that we got wrong is we got chemistry wrong. Losing Russ, we're talking about 22, 11, and 11. And Russ got them into the play-in tournament. They didn't actually make the playoffs. Russ got them into the play-in tournament, right? So they're 10th with that 22 and 11. So now you lose Russ, and in the process of losing Russ, you also lose, you're gaining Spencer Dinwiddie, who hadn't played the entire season, coming off a torn ACL, right? So why should I think that after losing one of the best point guards in the game, you're going to get a guy who hasn't played the whole season, and then you're going to get a bunch of rotation guys in KCP, Kuzma, and Trez, who, by the way, Trez might be one of the most valuable players in the game. Like, I'm almost ready to put him in that category with Draymond Green and Marcus Smart, where, you know, if we're trying to win,
you need a dirty work kind.
We need this guy, which is surprising to me, Tone, because I'm looking at what he's done with Washington. I think he's first in the league in win shares. If he's not first in the league in win shares, he's in the top three in the league in win shares. But he couldn't get off the bench last year with the Lakers. I'm thinking to myself, why was he not in the rotation? What's the problem? But this team, they just look like they've got it together as a group. You know, Dinwiddie is really good. Bradley Beal has been out of the lineup, by the way. It's not like, you know, they've been rolling with Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal has actually been out of the lineup. Kuz has been a lot better than what people thought. You said that before the season started. You were high on Kuz. You had him as an MIP.
I thought statistically, look, and it's not a knock, but statistically, when players leave LeBron's system, they get more touches. They get the ball more. And I said statistically, right, and that's what they're looking at for most improved, you're going to see him, his numbers go up. So he's going to be a candidate.
Which they did, absolutely. And when I look at this Washington team, he's gotten much better because he's got a lot. He's got more open looks in the open floor. He's been able to handle the basketball more. And in impressively, Tone, his defense has improved, which I didn't think that I would see that from Kuzma, but his defense has improved. What I had with him, I didn't think that he was that cerebral when he was with the Lakers, only except I'm watching him. And the problem was, James is so smart, kind of like Scottie and Jordan, that it takes away from...
Makes everybody else look worse.
Right. Yeah. When in reality, this guy, you know, he's actually smarter than what I thought. I thought that he would be good, but there was nothing to make me think that the Wizards would be this good. And I'm very surprised at what they're doing right now.
Yeah, and like I said, I had them a little bit higher than you, but like I said, I had them 9-10, so it's not like I was, you know, thinking... So yeah, I'm really impressed. And there's something that we talk about all the time, and yet we still underrate all the time, which is chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And I, there was a video or a clip of a post-game interview with Dinwiddie.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed, and look, we're going to find out in the upcoming weeks, because it is still early, if it's because they're winning that they're doing this, or it's because of the chemistry that they're winning. So Dinwiddie was sitting there and he was talking about Kuzma, and he says, oh yeah, Kuzma does this no look thing, but like, he hasn't figured it out yet. He's looking at you, he passes the ball, and then he looks away. That's not how
no
look works.
Doesn't work that
but
way.
The fact that they're having, you could tell that there's that camaraderie. If they're making jokes like that, it does speak to the chemistry. Now, like I said, winning tends to cure all problems. So yes, it might be that, but it could be the flip side, which is, hey, if they're really getting along and they're, you know, sharing the ball, and that's the thing that people forget. It's great to have a LeBron, a Westbrook, a KD, whoever. But if they're not sharing the ball, it's not fun.
It's right? Not.
The second you said defense, I thought, well, yeah, the more shots I get, guess what? Especially if they're going in, the harder I play on defense.
Yes.
It's just, that's how you know, I said this to you, I think, last week. Your big man runs the floor. You get him an easy alley-oop or, you know, a dunk, whatever. Guess what happens? He hustles back and he's playing D and he's blocking shots because, hey, if I run the floor, they're going to reward me, right?
You can't underestimate chemistry. I remember Wilt Chamberlain saying about that 71-72 Laker team that won the NBA championship. Chamberlain said, quote, I've been on teams that would destroy this team in terms of talent, but this is the same team that won 33 straight games, how they just came together and how they just had it together in terms of everybody knew exactly what their job was and they were all in unison. Well, When you got this guy over here, you got another guy over here, and I want to do this more and I want to do that more. Well, it kind of tears at the dynamic of what we're trying to do. When I look at Washington, it seems like everybody has an idea of what it is their job is. And it looks like early. Now, I don't want to go over the deep end. I know it's early, but it just looks like everybody has an idea of what they're doing, and they're rolling early. I'm definitely surprised about what the Washington Wizards were doing right now.
It's funny that you said, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that, because that's the stuff that actually breaks teams apart, to say, hey, I want to do more scoring or I want to do more whatever. And it breaks team apart. And the funny part is when you start actually sacrificing and saying, okay, instead of what I want to do, what does the team need? You end up actually getting that stuff that you want anyways.
Yes, you do.
It ends up happening, and it's a tough kind of mentality to learn. But so, yeah, so I'm impressed with the Wizards. I hope they keep it up, because like I said, I like when I look, you know, KCP, Harrell, Beal, Kuzma, Dinwiddie, it's a good group of like players.
It is.
And Beal's the kind of guy, if he can stay healthy, right? He's a guy that can average 30 points a game. So you have your, you know, your star scorer, right? And now you just need those everybody else to do their roles. What I think that's the hardest piece to find is a scorer who can score like that within a system that allows everybody else to do what they do. So yeah, if they can keep it up, that's I am impressed. And I'm glad. I like when the Wizards are good. So we go from the Wizards, and you mentioned Harrell as that glue guy, and you compared him to Draymond Green. So I'm going to start with Draymond Green, another 8-8-7. Mm-hmm. And when you look at that, you're like, you know, I think Charles Bark called him Mr. Triple Single. But that does not give you what he actually does for a team. Like that, I get it, especially with Clay was there. But when Clay and Curry do their thing, he looks significantly better. But I also think if he's not doing his thing, they don't get to do their thing as easily. Am I right?
Tone, take Draymond off Golden State. They change dramatically. Go get Clay and put Clay on this unit. Even Clay, when he's sharp, take Draymond off the group and they change dramatically. And the reason why they change dramatically is because Draymond does all the other stuff. And the reason why that's important is because everybody has a job. And when this one person is not doing the job that's absolutely necessary, Dre being the emotional leader, him being the anchor on defense, him being one of the better rebounders on the team, him being the primary distributor, that stuff is very important. And if you don't have that, I don't care what else you have on your group. If you don't have that stuff, this other stuff is not going to work. And Draymond brings all of that. And if you're going to take him off the group and you're just going to plug somebody else in, that person not only has to do what Draymond does, he also has to bring that same chemistry. And I don't think you can find that. That's why this works so well with Draymond and the Warriors. Not to mention, Andrew Wiggins is playing so much better with these guys. I mean, he looks like he might be an all-league defender this season. Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, people are going to look at the 18-4, but look at his defense. Look at the couple plays that he did not make in the past. Let's be honest. He did not do that in the past.
Absolutely.
And that can be that can be part of Draymond's influence. And that's what I was going to bring up, is that he's got this level of confidence and ego and drive that just, look, sometimes it might get on your nerves, but at the same time, it does push you to be better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always tell everybody this story because it's hilarious, but it shows that you always need a guy like this. So Charles Oakley, later on in his career, was playing for the Toronto Raptors. Mm-hmm. It was in the Vince Carter early days. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to have some nice seats right at the baseline. And I sat there with the super fan, Nav Bhatia. I'll give him a shout out. Go check out Rexdale Hunden. We met at a convention. He said, hey, you know, we talk basketball. He said, come to a game with me. I said, awesome. So he's been, I don't know if you know this, the super fan. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
I didn't know that.
Okay. This season. Yeah. So he's been at every game since day one. He's never missed a Raptor game, and he even goes to some of the road games. Like, he is a super fan. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting there watching the game. It's the second row on the baseline next to the visitor's bench. Vince Carter, the one thing I always didn't like about Vince Carter in the early days was that when he would get hit, he would go down like he'd been shot. And it was really, you saw people do it all, like, and they roll around, and I get it. You're trying to play to the refs to get the foul. I understand it. I don't like it, but I understand.
Right.
So typically your teammates run over and they pick you up. So this time when he went down, Charles Oakley took a step towards him, looked down and said, get up. and I'm telling you, Vince just went boop. Like this, like if you've ever seen the Undertaker in wrestling, like, but his whole body just shot right up and he went to the foul line. And I went immediately, I thought, Everybody needs a guy like that. It makes you better. It makes you better because he's going to push you. And that just, and that's what I picture Draymond doing.
Yeah.
Right. I picture Draymond doing it. No, do not get up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when I look at this Warrior team, Tone, and I think about the influence that Draymond has on them, that's why I'm so excited about when they get Wiseman back. I'm very excited about when they get him back, and they get him back. Now you got another rim runner, right? And you got another guy who can defend and who can knock down the mid range. I look at Wiseman and I look at what Draymond is bringing to Wiseman. I look at him the same way I look at Kevin Garnett and I look at Cat when he was in Minnesota. When Kevin Garnett was about to retire, and I'm thinking, Kevin, you can't quit yet. He needs you just for one more season. I'm not saying that you can't quit. He just needs you for one more year. If you could give him one more season just to help him get a little bit more acclimated. Well, it's the same idea going on in Golden State with this kid Wiseman. Yo, this guy Draymond, he really needs you. This kid Wiseman, I think that he's going to be a pro, and I think that he's going to be something special, but he needs you. And he not only needs you for his development, but for what they're going to be in the future. And, if you could just stick around and stay on him, absolutely. I think that they're going to be back in the mix. Tone, I had them at five to start the season. I think me, you, and I, when we started the season, I had the Warriors at five in the West, and I'm absolutely surprised at what they're doing. I didn't have them at the top because I had somebody else at the top, but we're going to get to that later.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I had them in the playoffs, kind of in that 4-5 seed, thinking that, you know, it was going to take Klay coming back. I figured around halfway through the season, and that's when they would start to kind of gel and do their thing. So, yeah, I'm really impressed. Before we move to that other team, let me quickly ask, Draymond, Hall of Famer?
First ballot.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
I know that sounds nuts to a lot of people, but he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And, Jermaine, what do you mean he's a first ballot Hall of Famer? So remember, Tone, you said this to me more than one time. Can you please remind the fans of what the Hall of Fame is?
I don't want to. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. So from the time you're born and you start dribbling until the time you stop.
It is not the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. It is the Basketball Hall of Fame. So we're talking about a guy in Draymond Green. Just so you know, I believe he's the all-time leading rebounder in Michigan State history. Big Ten Player of the Year. He comes to the pros. He's a two-time All-NBA, made the All-NBA team twice. He was Defensive Player of the Year. So
he's a first ballot Hall of Famer for the Basketball Hall of Fame. If there was, and you know, Adam Silver, if you're listening, holla at me, I'll do it for you. If there was an NBA Hall of Fame, would he be a first or after ballot Hall of Fame?
I don't think he'd be an after ballot Hall of Fame, man. I know that sounds nuts, but when you got a guy who's been on three championship teams and he's been instrumental on these three championship teams, been an all NBA performer, not just an all NBA performer, an all league defender. An all-star, absolutely. You have
to take. So still a Hall of Famer, but not like the elite of the elite. Right.
No.
Because that's what I would do with the NBA Hall of Fame if I had the chance. I would have first ballots would be like those gold standard, you know, kind of like Deion Sanders wants in the NFL.
Guys like that.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, Jordan, Hakeem, LeBron. Yeah, those guys. Bird, like Magic. Mm-hmm. And then there'd be like the second ballot Hall of Famers that are still, they still deserve. And then there'd be a lot of guys that there would be no third ballot. If you didn't get in, it's like, you'd be done.
Your numbers don't change, Tony.
Mine would be very exclusive.
Yeah. This is who you are. So why are we having this, you know, your name came up again in 5 years. I retired 10 years ago. My numbers are still the same. What's the problem?
I'm that jerk with the velvet rope that really is picky on who I let in. But that's
My brother used to be the guy at the door. You come on in. Yeah.
And it didn't matter how many times you came. Like, you're not getting in. So don't bother.
No.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So nipping at the Warriors' heels, however, I'll be honest. I didn't think that they would be. And again, it's early, but Phoenix looking good, just plugging along, doing their thing. Like, I had them in that top four, but I didn't think it'd be Warriors Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Right, that was not my pick for the 1-2. What do you see? Is it just the same old with Phoenix? They're just ever since they got Chris Paul.
That's
interesting. You mentioned Houston being a bunch of guys just running around with no purpose. I'm not saying that was Phoenix before Chris Paul, but man, when you have a guy like Chris Paul there, it makes everything look a lot smoother.
Well, I'm going to say that, Tone. That's exactly what they were without Chris Paul. They were just a bunch of guys running around just doing whatever. You get Chris Paul, and now you got some continuity there, right? Now you have some structure there. It's not a coincidence that they've won 9 games in a row, and Chris Paul is leading the league in assists. He's also leading the league in steals. So he's the anchor, one of the anchors on their defense and their offense. So they go as he goes. I'm loving what DeAndre Ayton has been doing since this whole stretch. Book has gotten himself into the mix in terms of being a better offensive player. And that has a lot to do with playing off Chris Paul. Chris puts him in positions where he can score the basketball better as opposed to him taking tough shots. Miles Bridges has come along and he's turning into a really good player. Him and also Cam Johnson. So I'm looking at this Phoenix team, which I said before the season last year, I thought Monty Williams was coach of the year. That was before I saw what Tibbs had done. I thought Monty Williams was coach of the year. And I think, again, this season, he very much will be in the mix for coach of the year. I had Phoenix at 4 before the season started. But, again, they're looking really, really good early. And I think that's primarily due. And I'm not a huge Chris Paul fan, but I think that's primarily due to Chris Paul. I'm not a huge Chris Paul fan, but that's
I'm about to show you how much of a Chris Paul fan I am. So I want to tell him you're welcome. Because apparently he got my memo, because I did on YouTube, you can go see it, where, you know, the point God. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't even have the point God in my top 10 point guards. And I said, why? And since I said the reasons why, and I'm not going to tell you now, you can go watch it. It's mm-hmm. there. You can go watch it. Everything that I said, well, here's the reasons why I don't have him top 10 and what he needs to do to be in my top 10 all time. He's done. He's gone to the finals, as a hint. He's led a young team. He's leading the league again in steals and assists. So
was
I said,
listening to you, Tom? Listen,
I'm saying, I'll
fix you. Okay.
He'll never admit it, but you're welcome. Because guess what? He's making it really hard for me to say he's not now. Yeah. Like, there's no question, I think, at this point. So you're welcome. Mm-hmm. Now, so we had those two teams. Interesting. We had those two teams flip-flop, that 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. I think you had Suns Warriors. I had Warriors Suns. Mm-hmm. The team I had number one in the West, my Lakers. Is that who you had number one in the West?
I had them at the top of the Western Conference. I absolutely did. I had them at the top of the Western Conference.
I get it. LeBron has played, what, 6 games?
Yes.
I was watching the game last night. Mm-hmm. And for those that don't know, it was Lakers-Bulls, right? Mm-hmm. Lakers-Bulls. Mm-hmm. And I sat there, and I was going back and forth between that and a couple other games. I had a couple games on the screen, so I was maybe giving the Laker game 70% of my attention until the second half. But I sat there for a second, and I stepped back from kind of the fandom, and I watched the Lakers' offense. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look good. I saw 5 guys literally standing there mm-hmm. for about 8 seconds. Not one of them moved mm-hmm. for 8 seconds. And as much as I want to blame, you know, the addition of Westbrook, but the influx of new players, heck, look at how well all the players are doing in Washington right now. Mm-hmm. I want to put the blame there, LeBron being out of the lineup, right? But AD's doing his thing, right? He leads the team in points, rebounds, blocks. Mm-hmm. I go back to, and I hate, I sound like a broken record, I get it, but I go back to when they hired Vogel, and I said, I don't think that's the right coach for this team. Some of that lies on him, right? Like when the offense just looks stagnant and discombobulated, like that, it's not just, I get it, he can't go out and make shots and block mm-hmm. shots and make mm-hmm. passes, but isn't that his job to make, like, put them in the best scenarios? Like, even AD. Like, I look, and I'm going to let you get here for a second because I want to vent a little bit. Even AD leads the team in scoring, but every shot seems to be difficult. Mm-hmm. They're giving him no easy baskets, and that's what you should be doing,
right,
is getting your star player easy bucket and your other players too, but you put people in positions to succeed. I don't think they're in that position.
Well, the problem that we have in tone is that we have a lot of standing around, and when you look at that Laker offense – I watched it's just a bad offense right now. Well, what do you mean it's a bad offense? Anthony Davis gets pushed away from the block. Well, when he ever gets the ball on the block, he gets surrounded. And once he gets surrounded, there's no action off the basketball. None, Tone. I got guys standing around, and he's got to get rid of the ball quick. What I don't discount is how good a defensive team Chicago is. They got a really good defensive team, and they looked really good last night.
Yeah.
Very good last night.
And that surprised both of us because we were questioning if they were going to – yeah.
Well, that was my one question about the Bulls. I already knew who they were going to be offensively. I knew that. My question was could they defend? They've become a really good defensive team. But when I look at this Laker team, these guys can shoot the long ball. Ellington can shoot the long ball. Carmelo has been really good at shooting the long ball. Kent Bazemore has been shooting the long ball. James is not going to be able to save them because what they have is they have a continuity problem. They have guys standing around, okay, you do it. Okay, you do it. As opposed to collectively, we don't have any movement on offense. We don't have any, we don't have a floor leader because I'm a big Russ guy, right? I'm a big Russ guy when he's doing what point guards do. But when he goes off the deep end, where I'm watching last night, they have sets where Anthony Davis doesn't touch the ball for three or four trips. This is the guy we're running the offense through. And if we're running the offense through this guy, we got to get him involved, and we got to get him involved early. Now, Anthony Davis gets pushed away from the block, and he ends up shooting jump shots. Well, the reason why he ends up shooting jump shots is because we don't have any action off the ball, and it's easy to jump him on the block. When you throw him the ball in the post, nobody's moving. Everybody's just watching, and you got two and three guys that jump him. And these guys are standing on the three-point line with their hands up as opposed to diving to the basket, getting some action off the ball. Well, when you don't do that, then you have guys like Anthony Davis turning the basketball over the way he was doing last night, and you see the result, getting blown out.
A lot of the turnovers, I shook my head. But so there's a couple parts last night where I saw, like I mentioned before, like where they're just standing around. Mm-hmm. 8 seconds, I counted 8 seconds, and nobody moved. And then the next kind of series, it was into the post to Carmelo. And I get it, Carmelo's been playing well, but into the post. But here's the thing. All right, go post him up. And the other four guys just stood around the perimeter just watching him post up.
Right.
I don't know what league you're playing in. That doesn't work anymore.
No, it doesn't.
Mm-mm. It just, there was a time when, yeah, okay, I throw it into Wilt and we'd all just watch him, you know, or throw it into Kareem and he'd turn mm-hmm. around, and, you know, hit a sky hook. Mm-hmm. Sure. You're not going to win any games like that now.
No, you're not. Mm-mm.
So that's the part that really, as a Laker fan, drives me nuts. And as a basketball fan, because I see, if I had Russ and Melo and AD and that team, I think I could put together a better offense where, one, they're running a little bit more, if not mm-hmm. a lot more, because they are really athletic kind of team that can run up and down the floor with you.
Mm-hmm.
But also, yeah, a lot more motion. A lot, again, getting AD the ball in motion where he can get some easy shots.
Yeah,
am I gonna post up Carmelo? Sure, I'm gonna post up Carmelo, but there's also gonna be some cuts and some when he gets double that he can kick it out for an easy three. There's gonna be a lot of stuff versus just okay.
Oh, and what I also don't want to discount either, Tone, is they're not very good defensively neither. On top of them not being a fluent offensive team, they're not that good defensively neither. When I watch, there's a lot of head turning and ball watching, and you know, guys don't gang rebound, and especially on the defense, especially on the offensive end of the floor. When I watch these guys in rotations, they look like they're just disoriented. And it and on top of that, there's no toughness to them. And I don't think James is going to change that. I think that's a bench issue. I think that's a management issue. And I don't mean management in terms of the general manager. I'm talking about the coach.
No, coach. Yeah, I'm putting a lot of it on him because I think, look, if you got the things that we're talking about are things mm-hmm. that are coachable. Mm-hmm. But if you're not doing it, if you're looking at it, and I don't know that. Listen, I'm not in the locker room. I don't know. I'm not at practice. I don't know. But I look at it as if you're looking at this team as, hey, it's a bunch of like vets, like superstar vets. We've got mm-hmm. AD, Russ, Melo, you know, LeBron for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
They know what to do. No. And I think, I don't know if I've told you this story before, but sorry if you guys have heard it before. I'm going to bore you with it, but it's quick. Just because you have the best of the best doesn't mean you don't have to manage them.
Yeah.
And I go back, you know, I use a lot of stories from Google. I probably spend too much time at Google, but Google had a thing where they're like, hey, we hire the best of the best. We don't need managers because all our employees are the best of the best. So they took all the managers out. Guess what happened? Production dropped like a rock in the ocean, just sunk. And they mm-hmm. went, what the heck happened? Cause they still need direction.
Right.
And so Google fails quick. You've heard me say that before. They brought the managers right back in and everything just whoop, went right back to being the typical, efficient, wonderful selves that they are.
Mm-hmm.
Even the superstars need to be coached, yes. right? Even you can give me one superstar and I'll tell you, here's where he got coached, right? Mm-hmm. Someone has to teach you something. Hakeem coached LeBron on footwork. Phil coached Jordan on the triangle, Tex Winters, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's Kobe. You don't think Kobe got coached? after shooting a bunch of air balls when he first came. Like,
right.
There's stuff that puts you in positions to be better. And,
you know, I equate that to Mario Andretti. Mario Andretti is arguably the best driver in the history of NASCAR. However, he needed a pit crew. They didn't just throw him behind the wheel and go, right, okay,
F1.
I'm talking about not NASCAR. F1. I'm sorry.
Because someone's gonna say, yeah, Mario Andretti never did that.
Yes, F1 and Formula One. But they didn't just throw him behind the wheel and go, all right, you're a great driver. Go.
No, exactly.
Somebody had to show him. Listen, this is how you hit turns. This is when you stop. This is when you come to the pit, as opposed to, well, you probably have a good idea when you know you're running low on gas.
Yeah,
so
just come on in when you're ready.
You'll come. No, it doesn't work that way. So in the same idea, when it comes to the Lakers, you guys probably know when you should rebound. You guys probably have figured out that the ball. No, they haven't figured it out. In fact, that's why you're here, to get them to figure that out, to get them on that page. So
I think they miss Jason Kidd.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that.
I think they missed Jason Kidd because
I'm glad you mentioned that, man. I am. And the reason why I'm glad you mentioned that is because I see what they're doing in Dallas. And I see in terms of what the continuity of that offense looks like, not just offensively, defensively also. Luka looks so much better in distributing the basketball. The offense is moving. The ball is moving. These guys look like that's a different offense than what it was. Luka looks like a different player. And I think that I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think Dallas is number three right now in the West. And you could definitely, yeah, I think they're number three right now in the West. And you could make the case, Tone, that Jason Kidd could very well be coach of the year if he continues doing what he's doing. You could definitely make that case for him. I'm not saying that he is, but you can make the case if they continue rolling the way they are.
Yeah.
That could be something that's realistic. So
I'm not kidding when I said I was watching multiple screens. So one, let's hope Luke is okay, because he had a little, I think he twisted his ankle.
Yeah.
At the end of that last night. So hopefully it's not anything serious. But the one thing I noticed was, listen, I get it. Luke is the best player on that team. Mm-hmm. There's no debate about it. But we both have said this multiple times. But for them to win games, and that's really what matters, right? Porzingis has to score, has to be involved. Well, mm-hmm. Guess who was the leading scorer last night? Porzingis.
Yes, sir.
Who was getting him the ball most of the time?
Mm-hmm.
Luka. Mm-hmm. Guess what it did for Luka? Oh, because Porzingis was scoring, they actually had to pay attention to him. And then it opened up the floor for Luka. Mm-hmm. And now he's, you know, going like foul line, turnaround jumper, his best Dirk impersonation. But there's not four guys around him because, oh, shoot, we got to cover these other guys. So a lot of that, and to the point, coaching, right? Mm-hmm. Putting them in positions to get easy buckets so that you keep the defense honest. And now you can do the other things you want to do. And mm-hmm. that's what I saw in that game last night. Again, that's one example that needs to continue. But mm-hmm. those are the things that make a difference. And I think, you know, when I look at even last year, I get it that they weren't great last year either. But when I look mm-hmm. at the offense last year versus this year, I see a lot of that, you know, Jason Kidd missing from that. So hopefully they can turn it around. Obviously, yeah. You know, I think they can. Look, LeBron's going to help. Obviously,
I don't think it's that much, Tone, to be honest with you. Because here's the thing that we need to understand, Tone. The thing that we need to understand, and we need to understand this now, and a lot of people don't want to accept it. James is getting old, man. He's not 25 years old anymore. He's not 30. This dude will be 37 years old next month, man. He's one of the oldest players in the game. Is he still sharp? Yes, he is still sharp. I believe the old country singer, Travis Tritt. Not Travis Tritt.
He's the only one I know.
Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? That dude.
I don't know who that is, but okay.
Anyway, he said, quote, I'm as good once as I've ever been. And that's who James is becoming. James is not the guy who we can just lean on him all the time now. Right. No, because James is long in the tooth. James has been out with a stomach issue. With an ab issue. This is going on 2 weeks now, Tone. This is an issue where 5 years ago, he might not have missed the game. He would have came right back in. But now we're in a space where now we have to manage his injuries. And the reason why you got to manage his injuries is because, you know, he's getting old. And it has to be recognized. So we can't lean on this dude as much as we used to. And I don't think he's going to help that much when he comes back, especially defensively. And that doesn't mean that James isn't still good defensively, but this team collectively, as a defensive unit, they got to get on the same page. They have to. Now, I can appreciate James coming back in and breathing some new life into them, but this is a long season, Tone. We're barely a month into the season. And if we're going to lean on James like that for the duration of the season, he's not going to hold up. We already see him breaking down as it is.
Yeah.
So.
Well, like I said, they'll be better with him, but I still think, I don't know if it's, listen, I'm not a big fan of firing coaches midway through the season, but.
Me neither.
Maybe it's an assistant coach needs to be given more of a range, but yes, something needs to be done on the offense and defensive side. Let us know your thoughts. You know, we do get a lot of comments, and I don't know. We'll talk about them as well. Mm-hmm. We have a special this week, just so you know. Instead of, we didn't do our Monday live at 8 p.m. our TikTok. We're gonna do it Wednesday at 8 p.m.
Yes,
so that's tonight. If you're watching this on Wednesday when this comes out, if you've watched it on Thursday, well. Then we're back to the Monday schedule, Mondays at 8 p.m. But this week, November the, I want to say 17th, we'll be 8 p.m. live on TikTok answering your questions. But until next week.
Take it light, but take it.
Get the full Sports Fluent Anthony K and Friends experience. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at sports_fluent. What does it mean to be truly fluent? Support us today for exclusive content, direct one-on-one chats, answers to your questions, and best of all, every quarter, a lucky supporter will be chosen to appear on Sports Fluent and receive some great swag from Boardwalk Los Angeles. How can you support us? Go to anchor.fm/sports-fluent/support.